we be captured by your Holy Spirit. Oh, come on. Just let God move tonight. Come on, let our hearts be open. Hallelujah. We need you, God. We need you, God. Lord, we be in a place of surrender. Hallelujah. Captivated by your Holy Spirit here tonight. Captivated by your Holy Spirit, God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, this is worship. Come on, just sing a song unto God. Hallelujah. He's your Father. He's your Savior. Hallelujah. Just worship His name. Come on. Just say Jesus. Hallelujah. Just tell Him you love Him tonight. Come on. Just open your mouth, your breath. Just say, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I love you, God. Come on, just get captured by His Holy Spirit. Just get captured by God tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we worship you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Let there be a wave. Hallelujah. Let there be a wave in this place tonight, God. Hallelujah. That takes us off our feet. Hallelujah. Lord, that we lose control in you, God. Lord, we walk out of our safe space. Hallelujah. Lord, we lose control in you, God. Hallelujah. We give you way here tonight, God. Holy Spirit, have your way. Come on, can you say that with me? Holy Spirit, let us be sensitive. Come on, say it again. Holy Spirit, let me be sensitive to your voice, to the voice of change, the voice of power. The brakes change, causes us to go free. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Come on, just thank Him. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Come on, He deserves your praise. He deserves your praise. Oh, He's the Most High God. Come on, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Lord. I surrender, Lord. I worship you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we thank you, God. Oh, God, hallelujah. Have your way, God. Have your way. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes we rush. Come on, saints. Sometimes we rush and we miss out on what God. I just want to hear what God's saying tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. I just want to hear what He's saying. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Man, listen, before we sit down, I want you to hear this. And we sang that, and I just heard the singers sing, and I'm captured by your Holy Spirit. I want you to stop tonight before you walk out of this place. Say, what am I captured by? Anything I say from this point on, stop and remember this right here. What am I captured by? What captivates me? What causes me to stop? What causes me to stop? I'm worshiping something somewhere during the day, somehow. Whether it's fear, whether it's doubt. What captivates me? What gets my attention? What grabs me? Causes me to stop? I pray it's God. I pray it's the Spirit of God that causes us, captures us, that we're sensitive to it. That we hear His voice. That we're sensitive enough to get beyond our own things, to get beyond our own borders, to get beyond our own problems. Let the Holy Spirit move us beyond our boundaries, beyond our beliefs. Causes us to... Somebody here tonight needs to hear what you got to say. Somebody here, this is here, we're here because of the body of Christ. When I'm by myself, I'm not whole. But when I'm with you in this body, something's powerful. And sometimes I want you to know that we don't use the body like we should.
We don't operate like we should. You got gifts within you. You got anointing within you. Somebody here needs what you got. I don't know if I touch somebody, love somebody. Tell them you love them. Tell them you're praying for them. Bless somebody. Encourage somebody. That's what we're here for. And what you got to say might change somebody's lives. Might cause them to quit what they were doing, to stop them in their tracks. It might captivate them. You might be that Christ in their life at that moment because He's in you. Captivate somebody. Captivate somebody tonight. Before you walk out of this place, let God use you. Speak to somebody. Bless somebody. Before you sit down, I want you to hug somebody. Hug at least two people. Go right now. Come on. Hug somebody. Love somebody. Come on. Hallelujah. Love somebody. Bless somebody in Jesus' name. Come on. Yes, Lord. Bless your name. Understanding that you love me stops me in my tracks. That's all I need. That's all I need. Nothing else matters. I'm captivated by Him, my Creator, my Savior, the God that created everything that captivates me, everything that's out in the world, everything that I look and stand in awe at. It was the God that made it. Lord, I pray that we embrace Your love. We don't walk out of this with... Let us be sensitive. You understand that You're with us. You're here tonight. And anything can happen. Miracles. Just because of who You are. And when we're captivated, those, God, Lord, at those moments, think, God, Lord, You release. When we let You touch us and we touch You, power is exchanged. Power. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Oh, yes, Lord. Children may go to their classes. Oh. He wrecks me. He wrecks me. He wrecks me. I pray He wrecks you too. Amen. I pray you let Him, hallelujah. You know what? Sometimes we get religious. Sometimes we get all stuffy. Listen, I'm a stuffy child. I blow that out of this place in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, I don't like the stuffy. I walk in. I don't like to feel uncomfortable. Amen.
If the house ain't happy, I'll bring happy with me. Come on, amen. Listen, I don't have to depend on anybody else's happiness or any joy. I got the joy of the Lord within me. We don't wait for someone to bring it to me. I have it. We have the Spirit of God within us. We got to get used to that, saints. Amen. We got to understand what we have within us. Don't wait for the preacher or the priest need to bring it for you. To serve it up on a little platter. So here it is. God does that to new Christians. They'll do that. But I want you to know that somewhere, sometime, you will not like me. You'll get disappointed with me. I want you to hear that. Whether you believe it or not, you will. Because you know why? Because God wants to be number one voice in your life. If you're only depending on me, God will turn something. I'm telling you, He will. Because He wants you not to depend on me or the praise team to be your voice. But He wants the Holy Spirit. Listen, I want you to know, I'm going to give you an example. Moses, the guy that God used to deliver the children of Israel, split the Red Sea, watched their enemies overcome, come back to that place years later, stood right there, and they're mumbling and complaining because the manna was the same food they were getting every single week. Oh, I ate that last week. It was falling from heaven. Biscuits of heaven. Come on, bump your neighbor. Say, these are biscuits of heaven. These are fat-free, gluten-free. Oh, my goodness, but they're complaining. I kind of would like some apple butter. So they start mumbling. You know, they begin to be disappointed with God. And if you begin to be disappointed with God, all of a sudden you start looking at the leader. You brought us here, you jerk. They're mumbling about Him. Because they didn't move, because they're not receiving what God's given them. Say, here. I've been there in a place where I haven't been dependent on God's voice in my life in places. I've depended on leaders. I want you to know, I've become disappointed. And I realize now, I look back at those moments and say, God, help me. That we don't become disappointed in what we have right now. That we know we're blessed and highly favored in the moment we're in. And if we're disappointed, there's something that I'm letting down. Something I'm not doing. I'm not responding to a change or to a moment that God has placed before me. Stood right there and says, don't you remember? There's when your enemies were destroyed. There's nobody chasing you. Look to your neighbor and say, nobody's chasing you. There was no Egyptians to chase them anymore. But they mumbled and they complained. They mumbled and complained. And so God gave them what they wanted. And snakes came up and began to bit them. And some of them died. Listen. There's some people that just don't change. They're not going to change, and they're going to mumble, complain, and they're going to die where they are. But I want you to hear me. There was those that were there that repented. And they went to Moses and said, Moses, I repent. And Moses gave them a way out. He lifted up the stake with a serpent upon it. And as they lifted it up, they said, what you're looking at will save you. Look to your neighbor and say, what are you looking at? If you're looking at the problems in the situation, or you're looking at Jesus. Because I want you to know, listen, I want you to hear me tonight. I've watched and I've looked in this Bible, and these men and women of God that were in severe, horrible conditions, but yet something within them gave them joy and purpose and destiny, even in prison, even in persecution. And brokenness and barrenness and weakness and shame and forsakenness. But they had their eyes on Jesus. They abided in Him. I want you to know that distraction, mourning, mumbling, complaining about your situation will cause you to get outside of that abiding grace that God has for you to live in. As a pastor, let us abide in Him. If you catch yourself mumbling, about the way things you think. No, no. Listen, I want you to know that don't be the problem to solve, but be the problem solver. Don't be the problem that takes up time. Paul's anointing to cost other people or God to stop to deal with issues that should be dealt with. I'm not specific any. I'm just speaking out of the Spirit right now tonight. So receive it or throw it away. You all right? You love me? Listen. So at that moment, we either receive it, take hold of it. Because I want you to know that we don't want to waste anointing. We don't want to waste anointing on something that we can deal with on our own. We can deal with this. We can get this over. We can let this thing go. We can say, I don't want this. This is costing life. Life. This is costing me a moment. That woman that was bowed down and broken, she was dealing with for something for years and years and years and years and years. And she stepped in front of another generation that was about ready to get a miracle. About ready to get a miracle. And this woman got in front of that little girl's miracle. She got her miracle. But just because the body had issues it didn't deal with before, these could have been solved. These could have been taken care of. But because of it, here's this 18-year-old girl, this young girl, in this pain, in this situation, because here's this other person didn't deal with it. We got everything we need in Jesus. Come on, saints. Let's keep our eyes on Him. Change. In Jesus' name. Come on. Amen. Give Him a round of applause. Give God praise. Come on. Oh, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You got my light, brother. My light bright. Thank you, sir. All right. What's that song? My little light of mine. There it is. What was I saying? Come on, I learned that in preschool. I'm going to let it shine. Amen? All right, here we go. Let's let God speak to our hearts. Listen, I want you to know, how many of you like change? Come on, nobody likes change. Some changes are good. But some changes, come on, you get used to. Like me, I get used to things. And it gets comfortable. I've been comfortable in different situations. And it's funny because I didn't know what I was going to be doing a couple days ago. You're my family. Amen? I could tell you anything, right? A couple of days ago, I really didn't know what I was going to do on Friday. And what I did on Friday is I quit my job. Yeah. And at 50 years old, that ain't an easy thing to do. Come on, amen? You were scared at 50 to quit your job and to say, you know what, I'm going to start something new. So it's trusting God at that moment because I couldn't live with the conviction that I had. Amen. Because there wasn't just about me. It was about a bunch of other people, too. It was a bunch of other things in my life that were around me that I had to deal with it. And I was comfortable where it was. You know what I mean? I was comfortable with that situation to some degree. And I look back now and I'm thinking I really wasn't comfortable. But I was safe. We can't play it safe. Always. So I want you to see here, and I want you to see tonight, I hope I can just share something with you that is in my heart, that before I knew what I was going to do, this was in my heart. I kind of knew something was going to happen, but I didn't know when. I kept putting it off. I was going to put it off Friday too, and I couldn't leave where I was at. I felt God just holding me at that place. So you pick your phone up right now. You cannot leave. Amen? You ever feel that way? Well, I did. So let me share this with you. All right? Do you love me? Please. Come on. Come on. Say, you love me? You're not lying, are you? Listen. Change always has its confrontations at first. I want you to remember that, what I said. Change always, say always, always have confrontations at first. Whenever you change, there's always going to be a resistance, a confrontation to the choice that you make. Whether it is, come on, I remember of leaving addictions, and I know after that change, was confrontation with my flesh. Come on, you ever been in that place? Come on, amen? Quit eating cheesecake for a month. Come on, let me make it plain, because some of you are thinking, yeah, I've never been on drugs in my life. Yeah, but you eat that cheesecake like it. I'm just saying things I shouldn't say, right? Come on, amen? You love that cheese. It wakes you up in the middle of the night and you hear it calling you. Come on out and get it. Come and get it. And you know what you do? Oh, come on. I want to help you tonight. You got that box of cookies. Instead of eating two, you eat two more and three more. Your addiction can't stop. I'm just speaking here tonight. But change always brings a confrontation, because it's going to confront you to say, oh, no, you didn't do that. You are not going to quit this. And then the moment you do, the moment I drove out of that parking lot, I thought, did I do the right thing? Did I do the right thing? Am I going to be okay? Am I right? Come on, amen. Is everything going to be right? All right. You were nervous for a minute. You were thinking, oh, he became a full-time pastor. We're going to have to pay for it. Oh, no. Oh, baby. Amen. All right, here we go. Listen, let me get here. We're never going to get there. Amen. Listen. Where are we at here? This is in Luke 6, 8. 8, 26, yeah. But let me open up before here, because something happened before. And I always love this. And I want us to read the Word of God this way. To understand what has happened, to know what's happening, sometimes you got to know where you come from. Amen. Come on, amen. You got to know. And listen, that's just sometimes we got to recognize too with one another. The person might be, and I just feel this right now, just the person that might annoy you, or a person that might maybe rub you the wrong way, you might stop to say, where have they been? Who are they? And why are they the way they are now? Amen? Because God's put some annoying people in my life to stop me to say. Some people I'm thinking, I just have a hard time. God, I'll be honest. I just have a hard time, God. I've never been there. I don't know how you got to get me through this. So, and I want you to know this. See, God does this. God sets us in these places. But we got to know where you came from to where you are. So we got to see here that here's these disciples. Here they are, they're in a boat, they're in a safe environment with Jesus. Who's in the boat? Tell your neighbor, Jesus. I want you to remember this. Don't look bad on the disciples. Because you have Jesus in you, but when storms come, I'm not the only one, am I? God's got to say, son, shh. Okay, Jesus, you got this. Listen. And they arrived at the country. Oh, I'm sorry. Listen, let me give it to you. Because I need you to stay there. You're good. Listen. And it says, and now it was come the path they shipped the disciples and said, let us go to the other side. They launched out. And he fell asleep in the bottom of the boat. He says, and all of a sudden they were filled with water and they were in jeopardy. And they came unto him and they awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. We arose, rebuked the raging water, and it ceased and it calmed. And where, he said unto them, where is your faith? Listen, look to your neighbor and say, where? This is Jesus. He's in the boat looking at his disciples. Where? They're like, they're looking out there. And he's saying, where? Where is it? Listen, I want you to know that these are simple things that we got to know. I'm not a preacher to give you a method or a plan to overcome. If someone does, we got to stop and say, wait a minute. Listen, it's not a method, because I want you to know that that's when we begin to work at it, try to find a method to get out of our problem. Give me a method or a plan, these six plans. And I do that sometimes, but there's a point. I want you to know, there's nothing else that can do it but Jesus. He is the way, He's the truth, He's life. God gave us everything we need. For God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus. Not a method or a plan. Jesus. It's simple. We make it so hard. Where's your faith? Oh, but I got to say this scripture and this. And that's good. We need to know the scriptures. Because He is the Word. But I'm telling you, it's not just a method that I have to pray the certain way to get God to hear me. I want you to know something. You just not to know. He's the way. He is the way to God, to the Father. He is the truth about the Father. He is the life that's in the Father. So all I need is Jesus. And when I have this relationship with Jesus, everything's going to work out. It's going to come together good. You might be in your storm. I'm not telling you you won't go through storms. Because I've been knocked out. But Jesus has lifted me out of my pain. He has lifted me out of those moments. Come on, amen. He's never left my boat. He's never got out. He's never left me. I might be looking at the waves. I might be getting in. It might get my attention. I might be watching the thunder roll while Jesus is in my boat. The one who rolled the stones away is in my boat. And the other thing He said this. He looked at His disciples. And in Luke, and Mark, I'm sorry, Mark, it says, it used a different language. And both of them are awesome. But it was just where they were sitting or whatever the way they heard it. But I like it the way He says it here. He looked at His disciples and He says, "You of little faith." And at first you're thinking, if I tell you you're little faith, you'd be like, I would be. I mean, you hear Jesus tell you, "You're little faith." But that's not with the Scripture what that really means. Because we have all the faith because of Christ in us. We have everything within us. So how can I have little faith? What He was saying is, you have not little faith, but you have burst of faith. Poof. Yes! See, Jesus did an amazing thing. They watched Him do all these miracles, and then all of a sudden they're in a boat and things happen, and they're like, He says they were having bursts of faith. See, God doesn't want us to have bursts of faith. He wants us to keep us on Him so that we have continual faith. That our faith continues. That it keeps faith upon faith. Amen? Faith upon faith. We keep building it up. It's not like you didn't have it. It's you begin to your eyes of your understanding become enlightened to the faith that's within you. Amen? That's what David did when David slayed the lion. He slayed the bear. Faith upon faith. It wasn't one day. He wasn't just going to face a giant. No. He had to have faith that was built up, that he was enlightened to, of his God. But you got to step out in faith. You got to keep your eyes on Christ. You got to press. You got to run with perseverance the race that is set before you. Don't get off track. Tell your neighbor, don't get off track. All right, so here they are. They're in the boats and they had a great moment with Jesus. Revival. They're out on the Galilee. This is awesome. Wouldn't it be cool? I mean, just to be out there in a boat and this happened, you're like, yes, what's next? I want you to see this. Are you ready? Sometimes we just want to stay in the moment. I do sometimes. This is a song I had in my head. I can't get the monkey to say it. He saith unto them, let's go to the next. Let's go to Luke. Yeah. He says, and they arrived. Say they arrived. They arrived. They arrived. Listen, I want you to know that no matter what you're going through, if you stay with Him, you will arrive. You will arrive. You think you're late. You think things are going wrong. I want you to know that you stay with Him, you will arrive. The place that you need to be at the right time, at the right moment. Trusting in Him, you will not miss the mark. And they arrived. He says, and when they went forth to the land, but listen, here, listen, let me read this course. Let me read this for you too real quick. Amen? In Mark 5:1, let me read that to you because I like it the way, I like the different versions. All right? Okay? And they're not contradicting, they just say it a different way. It's like me. Some of you might hear this sermon from somebody else and it might be just a different way. Amen? It's how God's talking. And it says in verse 5:1, it says, and they came over, say they came over, to the other side. And they came to that other side. They came from one shoreline to the other. They came from one place to another place. And it's going from that place to this place that brings change. And I just want to, I want you to hear this and know that I recognize that God does things, and He does things in moments and times and situations, and we got to be able to recognize. We got to stop and say, God, what are you doing? And it just takes a moment just to stop. It takes a moment to say, God, what are you doing? Let me be captured by what you're doing. Let me see what you're doing. Let me understand. Let me have the eyes of my understanding open that I know what you're doing. So here they are. They're getting off the boat. And as soon as they get off the boat, what happens? Come on, what I say to you at the beginning, change always
what?
Has confrontation. Write that down. Change always has confrontation. Something's going to challenge you in the midst of your change. Here they are. They get off the boat. They put the boat on the shore. Listen, Peter, John, did you see what Jesus did? Is that awesome? They're fired up about it. I want you to hear me know that, listen, the enemy wants to distract you from your calling. He wants to distract you from the change. He wants you to keep you in that one moment, in that one place, and not to move on. So it says, and they came over to the other side. He says, and when they got off the boat, what happened, Randy? Look at this. Luke. I'm sweating. And when he came off the ship, say immediately.
Immediately.
Immediately they were met. And here's what they were met by. And they went off the ship. And him of a certain city. He says, oh, you know, go back. I'm sorry. Go back. I apologize. No. Which one was? Where were you at? Oh, you know, go back to 26. Let me see something. And they arrived. Okay, they arrived at the country of Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. Okay, next verse. And when he went forth to land, immediately at that moment, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils a long time. Say long time. It says, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in tombs. Come on, guys. You got to get this picture. Do you have an imagination? I'm not going to demonstrate. Bill, could you do me a favor? Listen, let's really do this. I want you to see this. Spooky, freaky, and goofy all at once. They're all fired up. They got the picnic baskets. They think they're going to sit on the beach and get tanned. Listen, I want you to know the enemy smells anointing. You're being confronted. It's because the anointing's in you. The Bible talked about it. We talked about it. Come on. Amen. David, as soon as the enemy, the Philistines, knew that he had anointing, they come to see it. They come to challenge it. When he became king, they came after him. Listen, we could stay comfortable and we can get back in the boat. And I moan at this moment when they see that. Jesus. Come on, let's get back in this boat. Let's go back. The storm looks good now. Remember the storm? Do it again, Jesus. Come on, let's get back in there. I mean, it was so bad yesterday and looking good right now because you got a naked guy jumping over tombstones. He's coming after you and everything's flying everywhere. Help me use your imagination. I'm just trying to be aware. He's dirty. He's stinky. He's still got the chains on him that have broke off him because they couldn't keep him bound. They're shaking around. He didn't have any clothes on. He didn't abode in any house. And it says, and he lived by the tombs. He was naked. So he's running after them. He's running the story. He's confronting them. He's got them captivated. That's going to... I want you to hear me. Please hear me. I want you to know what is captivating me. I want you to know the devil will use anything and anything around us to captivate your attention, to get a hold of your mind, to pull you away who you're walking with on the shore. Come on, amen. He just demonstrated who he was, and they were captivated by him. And they hit the shoreline, skipping and going, and all of a sudden they look. Next verse. Oh, listen, listen. But here's the key. This is the key. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell before him. I want you to know, you do not have to worry about devils or any enemy when you're walking with Jesus. They might be around you, but he'll captivate their attention, not you. When you're standing alone and you are over here distracted by everything else and not abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, but you're outside abiding in your own thing, a captivated by whatever it is. Come on, we all been there. We all been there. Come on, help me. We all been there. Things captivate you. Fears, phobias, frustration, failures, things that have been in the past. Hurting, rejection, turmoil, pain, all those things. Oh, I punched you in the mouth. I'm telling you, I'm going to distract you. I punch you in your mouth, I will distract you. And that's what the enemy tries to do. But when he sees Jesus, that enemy says, I'm captured by... At that moment, he stopped. He had no power, no authority in the presence of God Almighty. I want you to know that maybe they were standing in front of Jesus. Maybe they were running out in front. But I want you to know, as soon as they seen that enemy, Jesus, deal with this. Deal with the freaky dude running through the woods. We never did this before. This is new in ministry. Come on. This is new in ministry. Come on, we don't got a handbook. How do you deal with the tomb raiders? The naked tomb raiders. What do we do? Where's it at? It ain't in here. Jesus says, I got this. And it says, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I want you to know that your enemies know who he is. They know his name. But it don't matter whether they know your name. But if they know his name and he's in you, it don't matter. And it says, and Jesus said, Son of God, Most High, I beseech thee, torment me not. Don't torment me. Don't torment me. Please don't torment me. That's what the enemies are tormented by him. Next verse. Shut that thing. For we had commanded the unclean, but for he had commanded the unclean, come on, the unclean spirit that was within him. I want you to understand there are some unclean things that are out there. Come on, amen. There are some things that are unclean, of impure, that are out there trying to distract you. And it says... And he says in the spirit, he said he's calling the spirit to come out of that man. Listen, I want you to know that at that moment you got to recognize it's not just about your day on the beach. You get this. It's not just about your day on the beach, because we want our day on the beach. I know you're going on vacation. I'm not. I don't like vacation people. When I'm not on vacation. No, I'm joking. It says, very jealous, honestly, seriously. He says, for oftentimes he had caught him. For many times he caught him. Many times he caught him. And this grabbed me today. That the Word of God is just declaring something to me. What has caught you? What have you let catch you? What has got your attention? Listen, I know, I want you to know that the disciples are standing and saying, guy got my attention. He says, and he was kept bound in chains and fetters and broken bands. Listen to me. Whatever catches you will bind you. You will become a slave to. You will become bound to whatever captivates you. And I want you to know that, listen to me, I told somebody this one time that I'm a slave to Christ. And they said, you're not a slave. I said, yeah, I am. I am bound by love. I can't break it. I can't get loose. I had enough. I'm done. But I love you so much. Come on, help me. The moment you're upset with things and things look all bad, there's something you're captured by. It's His love. That means you're bound by something greater than you. Something has overtaken you. Help me tonight. But Paul says, I am a slave. I am bound. I am caught. He has captured my heart. Listen, listen, come on. My wife has captured my heart in the natural. I know what it's like to, man, I want to get home to see her. I remember when I was, I don't help you. I remember when I went to India and I got in a plane. I thought, I was like, this is going to be great. I went for, 10, 12 days, whatever it was. And I got on a plane. It was good until I landed. I landed. And then reality hit me when my cell phone didn't work. I was okay. And my phone didn't work. And all of a sudden, reality hit me in the mouth. I was confronted by what I was homesick for. And I was sitting there and I cried. Can I be real? I cried like a baby. My daughter was, how old is she? 2 years old. And what hit me was, I can't walk there. I can't get there right now. I can't call. I can't get there. I'm not able to. It's too far. It's not like I'm in Youngstown. It's not like I'm in Atlanta. I'm overseas in a jungle. And I can't talk to them. I was overwhelmed by the sickness inside me that I needed to be with them so bad. And when I got off the plane, I don't mean to be distracted, but I want you to hear it. Listen. When I got off the plane and I looked down the stairs and I seen her and my daughter standing there, God spoke to my heart like this, just like this. He says, this is how I felt when there was the divide between you and me and you stood before me. And I started bawling. They weren't even crying, like, what's wrong with them? The guy I was with was like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong? Are you in pain? Listen, but that always reminds me, God always reminds me of that moment. This is how much I love you. And that's in the natural. How much more? My Heavenly Father, when that divide, I crossed over through Christ and I stand before Him. And it says, and what's captivated us? What's got your attention? He says, and He was driven into wilderness. That's what, whatever gets your attention will cause you. That I want you to know that unless it's Christ, He's the way, the truth, and the life, things will distract you. And I want you to know that sometimes we don't even realize, we don't think that we're really overwhelmed. But I want you to know that if He's not your number one, if He's not the priority, He's not the heartbeat, your heartbeat, stop and say, what's captivating me? What's getting my attention? Because sometimes what happens is things get your heel and you're so far behind the beat of the heartbeat of God that you don't even realize it, that you can't even find your way back to that place. I don't want to be at that place. Come on, amen. I want to be at the place where I know the heartbeat of God, that I can hear it, I can feel it. I'm close enough at any moment just to reach out and grab them. Just like the disciples, they wanted to run. I'm not telling you don't want to run sometimes. I'm not telling you just want to get back in that boat and say, whoo, you guys do what you want to do. I'm out of here. But then they recognize, no, 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 no. He stopped the storm.
I need to be here with Him. He's the one that rolls the stones away. He's the one that heals the sickness. He's the one that breaks the chains. He's the one that speaks to demons and they bow down. I can't get in that boat. I can't get in that boat. I can't. Looks good. I know there's snacks in there too. Next verse. I'm done here. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name? What's your name?" I want you to know he's going to identify. There's a whole other sermon. Maybe Wednesday I'll speak on that. And he said, "Legion." And then say, it means many. There's a lot of things that captivated him that got his attention. There's a lot of things that will get us distracted in our journey. And he says, and because many devils were entered into him. And he says, and they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. They said, we don't want to go into the deep. And there were a herd of many swine feeding in the mountain. And they brought them. He besought him that they would suffer him to enter into them. And he suffered them to go into them. He says, yeah, go ahead. And he says, when the devils were out of the man, they entered into the swine and the herd and ran violently down a steep slope in the lake. And they were choked. Boy, if they would have known what was going to happen. They said, you know what? Let's not do this. It's kind of like whenever they crucified Christ. If they would have known, what would have happened if they wouldn't have done that? Listen. And when they had fed them, they saw what was done. They fled. And he says, and they told it into the city. Next verse. And they went out to see what was done. And they came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed. This is it. I want you to get this. This is powerful how that you get through change. Here's your three steps. Here's your three steps. He's the way, truth, and life. It's just Jesus. But here, I'm going to make it plain. You ready? They found him. Where was he at? Say it with me. What was he doing? Sitting at the feet. Listen. He became captivated. Whatever was captivating him before is no longer bounding him. But he's captivated at the feet of Jesus. He's found himself there. And this is what happens when you find yourself at the feet of Jesus. He was clothed. He was clothed and at the right mind. Listen, he's the way at the feet of Jesus. He's the way to you being clothed, the truth about who you are. Listen, all three of these, Jesus did it always in threes, powerful. The way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way. He was at his feet. He's the truth. When you know the truth, it'll make you free. He was clothed. He was not naked anymore. He was not ashamed because he knew who he was. Hallelujah. He didn't have to feel shameful anymore. I'm not going to get there. And it says, and he was at the right mind, the way, the truth, and the life. He now could live life. He had the right mind. He was at the right mind. That we are renewed, hallelujah, with the mind of Christ. That we come to the understanding of the way the Father sees you. That's the only way that we know how the Father is through Christ. And when we see it through His eyes, we realize your Father loves you. He's captivated by you. I want you to know that. God Almighty is captivated by you. He's captivated by you. That he longs for you like I did on the top of the steps looking down at my daughter. A natural father with flaws and mistakes in my life. Was overwhelmed by love for her and her. How much greater is he captivated by you? Listen, it says in his right mind, and they were afraid. They were afraid because they seen this. Next verse, it says, and they also, which saw it, told them
by what means he was possessed of the devils and was healed. He says, "And the whole multitude of the country of Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them." Listen. Say they missed it. They missed it. They were upset because their pigs are dead. They were raising... Do you know what they were... I don't have time to get into it, but do you know why they were raising pigs? To be sacrificed to a heathen god. That's why all those pigs were at that place. And Jesus says, "I'll sacrifice your pigs." That's who he is. Come on, amen. He was doing things no one else even knew what he was doing. He was like... in the river. You cast them into the sea. Be sacrificed today. They won't. There will be no other god beside me. Hallelujah. Cast them into the sea. And they were so upset. Come on. Listen to me. So upset because their pigs were gone. That they said, "You need to leave. The miracle. God Almighty. Standing before them. You got to go." He says, and it says, "Now men out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him." And I want you to know that I want you to recognize something and see and understand something. And he says, "I besought him that he might be, I might be with him." And that's a good thing, ain't it? Look, he's like, "Jesus, I want to be the 13th guy. I'm not sure about that Judas. So you might need another one. I don't know if I said that, but you delivered me. I want to go with you." And he said, Jesus said this, but Jesus sent him away. Listen. He says, "To return." And he looked at him. He said, "My love has captivated you. You can't just keep it within you and hide. You got to take it back home. You got to run. You got to take what's in you, what you've been captivated by, and go back home." Come on, amen. Tell your neighbor, "Go back home. You need to go back home. You need to go back home." He says, "You needed to take what's captivated you," hallelujah, "and begin to loose it in that place. Because it's no good just in this boat," hallelujah. "I'm working with these guys, but you've been captivated. You go back to your city. You sit back in your house and you begin to preach the good news." And he says, and he went, and he returned home, and he showed how great things God hath done. Everybody knew the naked creep. But he walked in that place, clothed and in the right mind, giving praise to God Almighty. And he said unto them, I'm sorry, go back. And he listens what he said. And he says, published throughout the whole city. Say the whole city. Whole city. I want you to know that when God captivates you, I pray this for our hearts, for this city. I want you to know that we got to be captivated before we captivate the city. We will never get the attention of our city if he doesn't have our attention. We're asking God to do something, and he's saying, no, I want to be captivated by you because you'll be distracted by the fame, by the glory, by the enemy coming against you. You need to be captivated by me. And if you are, I'll give you the city. I will give you the city. Listen, I was at a place last week where I met with some... I'm desperate for God to move in my city. I'm desperate for him to move in my church. And I believe with all my heart that I need to gather certain leaders that... There's some of them that never respond to me or don't even make a move towards me. But I caught a couple that said, "Yeah, let's do this. We're going to meet together, and if only two of them come, that's fine." But four of them agreed to come, to pray, to get together and pray. Because I know in my heart that God already spoke in my heart, you have to get the others to come together. Because he will not release it just to one, but it's got to be a group. It's got to be a multitude. It's not going to just be family worship center. Come on, amen. It's not just going to be family worship center. but it's going to be the city. It's going to be the church. It's going to be the body of Christ. Beyond just what I believe, but no, what we believe in Jesus, that we're captivated. That's all that matters. You get a couple leaders that stand on the walls that say, you know what, we need to declare and speak over our city. And I believe it's powerful. The north, the south, the east, and the west, that we're going to speak and declare in that room back there. We're going to speak and we're going to break. What has been coming in is going to stop. We have the power. I'm telling you what, the Bible talks in Nehemiah about the gates that are open. Every city has gatekeepers. I believe that God in the spiritual has put gatekeepers in this place, in this city, to open and shut doors, to close things that need closed, to open things that need opened. We're here for a reason. God's going to open some things. And it says, in the great things Jesus said done unto him, he says throughout the whole city. And it came to pass that when Jesus was done, he returned. The people received him. They received him. They received him, for they were waiting. Hallelujah. They were waiting for him to come back again. They were waiting for a moment. I want my moment. One man got captivated and set the people free. One man. One man was captivated. Listen to me. I want you to know, all God wants you to, you might be unqualified. I feel unqualified. I feel unqualified sometimes. Not the right education. Not the right degrees. Sometimes I stand back and say, I don't know what I'm doing. But I want you to know that God spoke to my heart. He says, you might be unqualified, but if you're willing, that makes you qualified. I'm going to say it again. You might think you're unqualified, but if you're willing, that makes you qualified. You might think you're unqualified, but if you're willing, tell your neighbor if you're willing, that makes you qualified. It makes you qualified. It makes you right. It makes you with the right mind. It makes you at the right place at the right time for a miracle to take place. That's what God wants to do. God wants to do it. Stand your feet. I'm captivated. Come on, hallelujah, sing it with me. I'm captivated. By your calling, send me. But if there's been things that distracted us, that has caught my attention, I pray right now, I repent. That I be captivated and I give myself to the promise to mold me, hallelujah, to make me, transform me. Whatever you want me to be, God. Well, I pray to God, Lord, right now in your name, God. I pray for your spirit to God, Lord, to quicken us right now of our calling, of our destiny. Remind us, God, of the power of who you are. That you abide within us. That we must abide with you.
Give myself to the potter's hand.
God, somebody needs prayer. I want you to come as we just continue just to worship.
Oh, I give my life to the Potter's hand. Oh, yes, Lord, I give my life to the Potter.
Come on, God's removing some fear tonight. God's removing some of that right now. Oh, I give my life.
Yes, God, yes, Lord, I give my life to you.
Tonight. Amen. Come on. Give him praise for that. Thank you for catching me. Thank you for catching me. Thank you for capturing me. Thank you for causing me to see you. High and lift it up. Come on. High and lift it up, God. Come on. I want you to hear that tonight. He caught my attention. He captured my heart. Don't walk out of this place knowing that he's captured you. He's captured you. Hallelujah. I want you to know that he's loved you. He first loved you. If you captivated him before, he's captivated you. Just let him overwhelm you. Let him overwhelm you. This baby, hallelujah. This baby, you don't know. You don't know yet. Never held this baby. You've never held this baby. But I know one thing, you love this baby. Hallelujah. You love this baby. There's something, you haven't seen this baby. You haven't touched this baby. You haven't felt your baby yet. But there's something within you. Hallelujah. I want you to know that that thing that's within you is given by God. That love that you have, it's unconditional. It's not about what the baby looks like, how the baby's going to act, what the baby's going to say. It's who the baby is. It's your baby. Hallelujah. It's your child. It's your child. And that baby that's within you, hallelujah. Hallelujah. This baby, hallelujah, is going to captivate your love for God again. It's going to captivate because God's going to use this baby, hallelujah. I want you to know, he knows the Father. He knows the Father. He knows the Father's voice, hallelujah. He knows his Heavenly Father's just like he knows your voice. You whisper your baby, hallelujah. You declare over this baby with what steps on this earth. Victory over this baby. You declare the blood. You speak victory and power in the bloodline that's in Christ. That nothing can come to harm. And I want you to know, I'm telling you, God's going to captivate your heart like never before with this baby. When that baby comes out, no one will understand how you love that baby. I'm just saying, because they come out and they're not really all the... I love my daughter, but she came out and she didn't look the greatest. But in my eyes, she captivated me. And my daughter was laying there, her eyes closed, laying separated from my wife. And I began to talk. Within 3 minutes, I don't know how long it was after she was born, she was bending her neck. Honestly, the nurse was like, oh my gosh. Turning her head to hear her father's voice. Bending her neck to hear my voice. Because I was captivating her. I want you to hear this tonight. This is your word. This is what this child's going to bring into your life. You think that, man, I want you to know this child is going to revamp my thinking, change
what you know of love from the Heavenly Father, what love is with the Father, He's going to do a work in you. He's going to wreck you from the top to the bottom. This baby's going to come out here, and you're going to bawl your eyes out and be wounded, be overwhelmed, be by this love for this baby. And I want you to remind yourself, He's captivated by you that way. He's captivated by you that way. He's in love with you even more than you are, this baby. In Jesus' name. Come on, bless His name. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Woo! Heavenly Father, we thank You. We give You glory. And with all of our hearts, because You love us so much, we declare that we are. Come on, let Burger King know it. We are. Amen. Come on, bless somebody. Give somebody a hug.